Father, I thank you for the word of God. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. And we declare that the entrance of thy word brings and gives light and brings understanding into our hearts today. Even so, let it be. We thank you for marvelous things and great things that you have spoken concerning us in the word of God. And as we receive these things in our hearts today, our hearts will rejoice and be glad. We'll be strengthened. We know what God has said concerning us. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to speak today on the subject of great things are spoken and written of you. Amen. Now, so the word of God, you know, consists and contains many wonderful promises. We'll take a look at some of them, of the things that God has spoken to us and why, you know, the word of God is so important, why we are always, you know, referencing it and talking about it. You know, how can we live if we don't hear from God? You know, one time Jesus said, you know, to the people, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And a stranger they will not follow because they know not the voice of strangers. And this word is important, both written and spoken from the Lord. There was also a situation, now that's in John chapter 10. There was a situation also one time in John chapter 6. Jesus was speaking many things that he called the words of life. You know, he said, look, this, you know, he called himself the bread of life. He spoke about the manna that they ate in the wilderness and how that it could not give them life because they ate it and they still died. But he said, it is my Father that gives you the true bread that is from heaven. And he began to speak about, you know, himself being the bread of life and that people have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, upon which, you know, the Jews and people said, well, this man makes us a, what does he think we are? Eating people's flesh and drinking people's blood. So, you know, he said, well, this is a, they said, this is a hard saying, you know, and they said, look, what does he want us to do? So many of them actually left. So Jesus, when he knew that they were murmuring, even some of the disciples were murmuring, and not just the 12, you know, they were murmuring and said, well, so Jesus asked them, does this offend you? Huh? You know, that I say that this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. John chapter 6, I'm going to read from verses, that was verse 58, but let me read also verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, he that eateth me shall live by me. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. You know, and when he began to say these things, when they heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples were murmuring, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? I mean, this one offends you. What about when you see that? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you here that believe not. You know, and I often refer to this scripture that we must engage the word of the Lord in the spirit, whether it is a spoken word or the written word. You got to engage it in the spirit. But Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, you know, yet he carried them along. And even who should betray him. Therefore he said unto you, you know, and he said, I mean, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except by giving him of the Father. From that time, many of his disciples, I mean, when we're talking disciples, we're not talking about just the 12 that he chose. Many of the disciples went back to the people that were following him and walked no more with him. So Jesus asked the 12. So there were a group of 12, but there were many others. You know, there were 12 that he chose, kind of like, you know, those who were with him daily. But there were many others that were coming to hear his teachings. They were all called disciples. Many of them went away from him when they heard some of these things. So Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Now, this is where I'm going. Peter's answer here. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. We want to talk about these words of eternal life, which Peter affirms here that comes from the Lord. And, you know, basically the words by which we must live. And I want to tell us about all the great things that have been written and spoken of us in the Word of God that we must, you know, affirm even on a daily basis. We must enjoy the blessings that come to us from the Word of God. In the book of Psalm 87 and verse 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Talking about, you know, Zion. And I was teaching in a certain place on Sunday, and I explained that this Zion, which used to be called the city of God, which the Lord said, the Lord loved the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Well, this so-called Zion, there was a physical, there's also a spiritual. In Hebrews 12 and 22, we read about a spiritual place that is called Zion. And that place is not necessarily physical. It's a gathering. And that's how we now see that when we read about Zion in the Bible, well, the Old Testament especially, called the City of David and all of that, we got to remember that it is a type. And we are now come, Hebrews 12 and 22 tells us, we're now come into a different place, a different Zion. See, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, the old Mount Zion was not heavenly. It was a physical. It's a physical place in Jerusalem. I mean, it's a physical place. Jerusalem is called Zion, the city of David, and so on. So that's a physical. But this is the spiritual, the heavenly gathering that's called Mount Zion. This gathering contains an innumerable company of angels. It also is, we can call it, the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. I'm not just talking about Israel or the Jews now. The God, our God, who's the judge of all, is there. The spirits of just men made perfect are there. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, is there. Yeah, and we have the blood of sprinkling with us. You know, I speak of better things than the blood of Abel. So I establish here that the city of God that is talking about is more than just physical, you know, Zion. We're talking about spiritual Zion. So wonderful and great things are spoken and written of thee. In the book of Psalm 40 and verse 7, you know, we read about, you know, the things that are written about us. What things? You know, that's the question that I want to answer today. This is just a background to the lesson. What things? He said, well, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. But what's written of you in the volume of the book? Well, you got to know what it is, though, that's written in the volume of the book. And this man said, well, I delight to do thy will, O God. It was actually a prophetic declaration about Christ. Because later on in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, we would read that this thing is saying, it's prophetic, you know, for Christ. You know, Christ himself would come and scriptures would talk about, you know, him coming in a body which he has prepared for him, said, you know, body has thou prepared for me, and so forth. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. So what is it that is written in the volume of the book concerning us? What is it that is spoken concerning us? Now, God's word can be spoken and written. You know, it was spoken, the voice that people heard at first, which voice was terrible to them. And they said they didn't want to hear it anymore lest they die, Exodus chapter 20. But this voice, Jesus said, my sheep will hear it. So anybody who doesn't want to hear the voice of God, maybe they are not his sheep. You know, because, you know, according to Jesus, he said, well, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand, because my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck anything out of my Father's hand. That's John chapter 10, verses 28 through 29. And then in verse 5 of the same place, chapter 10 of John, he says this thing. He said, you know, in fact, you know, my sheep will follow me. A stranger, they will not follow, because they know not the voice of strangers. When a good shepherd puts forth his own sheep, he said, goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So we know the voice of the Lord, and we must follow him. Praise the Lord. We must not also follow, you know, strangers. Because we don't know the voice of strangers. You know, the sheep, they follow the shepherd based on his voice. Whether they can see him might not be in their line of sight, but they can hear his voice. And wherever they are, when they hear his voice, even though the shepherd may not be in their line of sight, they are going to be drawn to that voice. And we also, we must know his voice. Now, his voice is also in his word. Go together. Psalm 103 and verse 20 says, there's a voice in his word. You know, it said these angels of God are hacking, you know, that excel in strength. I said, oh, praise the Lord, because they excel in strength. They do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. But there's a voice in his word. Whether that voice is written or spoken, it carries a message. That's what voice means. Voice is a message. In the book of Revelation, we talk about the voice of the trumpets. They carry a message. When the trumpet began to sound, there was a message that went forth. Now, the voice always means message. There's something with the message. There's a message to the elect from Jesus' voice. That's why they follow him. Now, also, we must realize that the word of God that is given and written for us is for us to believe it. When you believe it, then you speak it. Psalm 116 verse 10 says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Same thing is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It refers to that, you know, we speak what we believe. He says, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. Well, how can you believe if you don't hear the word of God? The word of God is what gives faith. I said the other day that faith comes by hearing. Well, I have to be careful because unbelief may also come by hearing negative things. And so that's why Jesus said, take heed how you hear and take heed what you hear. And so, but when the word of God is revealed unto us, well, we take that word and we run with it. So let's find out some of these great and precious things that are spoken or written of us in the scriptures. From Genesis through Revelation, you can find wonderful promises that God has spoken unto us. From time to time, he spoke to his people, and we can garnish those same things for ourselves. You know, whatever you are looking for from the Lord, we've taught in this on this platform many times that first we need to find a promise from the word of God that relates to the thing that we are believing God for. Because once we find a promise, then we can affirm it. First, we need to find a promise. So it is our responsibility to study and to search the scriptures. John chapter 5 verse 39 says, search the scriptures. We got to search the scriptures. We'll find the great things that are spoken concerning us. You know, Paul also said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says that you must study to show yourself approved, you know, unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, that is rightly dividing the word of God. You know, nobody told him to shun profane and vain babblings, because they will increase unto more unrighteousness. You know, it doesn't do any good. That word will eat as a canker, you know. So, you know, be careful what you hear. There are some words that will be like cancer. So some other words that will give life. The word of God will give life. So in searching the scriptures, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, we see many exceeding great and precious promises. If you're looking for promises concerning your health, promises concerning your life, promises concerning your children, concerning your well-being, concerning your future, concerning this walk with God, the promise of the Holy Spirit guiding us through life, and I mean, you know, you name it, the scriptures are full of the promises of God. You know, when you are faced with fear and anxiety, there are many promises that the Lord gives concerning the word of God to give us confidence and to give us boldness in the face of whatever the devil may be trying to bring. And the book of Romans chapter 8, for instance, you know, the Bible talks about the confidence and the boldness that God gives us. I mean, these are great things that the Lord has spoken about you. First, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we know we are the sons of God when we love God and we are led by his Spirit. We also know that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans 8, 14 and 15. But receive the spirit of adoption. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we should be called the sons of God. You know, that's given to us in 1 John chapter 3. That's a beautiful thing that is written to about us in the scriptures. What manner of love Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You know, many things, beautiful things are written to us in the book of Ephesians that tells us that this calling to be the sons of God was not something that God, you know, suddenly, you know, later on, in, you know, decided. This was something that was in his mind even before the world began. You know, he said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 and 4, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. These are wonderful things that are written concerning us. We also read that God has predestined us to the adoption of Jesus, children by Jesus Christ himself. These things were written of us even before we came to know the Lord. Wonderful things, according to the good pleasure of his will. We talk about forgiveness of sins. In the same chapter, it says, through Christ, we have redemption, Ephesians 1 and 7, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. These are wonderful things. We have assurance that we have forgiveness of our sins, you know, and God has given unto us, made known unto us now the mystery of this will, which he proposed himself. These are wonderful things that the Lord has spoken about, about us in the scriptures. We have assurance, you know, that we are God's children. You know, the Spirit of God, you know, himself beareth witness with us that we are his children. Praise God. We have assurance that we will be like the Christ, you know, when it's all said and done. This is a beautiful thing. The glorious things that are written about us. Romans 8 and 29 says it, that God has predestined us to be like Christ. Glory to God. 1 John also, you know, chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, give us some powerful information about who we are. Now, I'm dealing with who we are. You know, he said, look, we understand these things from the scriptures. You know, that our love is made perfect in him. We have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but love casted out fear. You know, so God has given us these things, and that's the reason we love him, because he first loved us. Let's look at some of the things that God did for the children of Israel. Same things which he also said and given us promise that he will do for us. These are the beautiful and wonderful things that God has given us that are written for us in the scriptures. Let's talk about healing and health, for instance. This is something that we need from the Lord from time to time. Many times sickness and disease will just come from nowhere. Here are some of these wonderful things that are written about us in the scriptures. Exodus 15 and 26. The Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And when the Lord speaks like that, he's giving us confidence in his ability to heal our sicknesses and diseases. Hallelujah. Heals us of our sicknesses and heals us of our diseases. Wonderful things are spoken of us concerning our health. Exodus 23 and 25. These are scriptures wherein the Lord gives us, you know, assurance of what he has done for us. Say, ye shall serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. These are wonderful things, great things that are spoken concerning us in the scriptures. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of days I will fulfill. It's a wonderful promises that the Lord has given us concerning our health. You know, Psalm 91 verse 10, we read about no evil can come upon us. No plague shall come near our dwelling. It's a wonderful things that are written concerning us. Psalm 103, verses 1-5, where the psalmist was praising the Lord for all the good things. Well, one of the things he said is that the Lord redeemed my life from destruction. That's a wonderful thing that's written about us. Praise the Lord. Psalm 107 verse 20. I mean, we can go on and on about all the promises that God gives us in the Word of God concerning our healing. And we've got to use this word, you know, for ourselves. He spoke it, gave it to them in the old days, and they will still have it today. He sent his word, he said, Psalm 107 and verse 20, and he healed them, delivered them from their destructions. Isn't that wonderful? That's a glorious thing that is spoken about us, that when we receive the word of God, it brings healing to our bodies. Hallelujah. Praise God. We read, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 24. It's a glorious thing spoken about us, those of us who are in this kingdom. He said, in that kingdom, none of us will be afflicted to the point where we'll be saying we are sick. He said, none shall say that I am sick. Ha! Glory to God. Now, that's a glorious thing that is spoken of us. Now, when God promised these things, if natural situation goes contrary, then we've got to revert back to the word of God. Because he said, the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. You know? Because the Lord has forgiven our iniquities. So we don't need to deal with those sicknesses. So if sickness comes, you got to maintain your stand that the Lord has said that he has healed us and we will not be sick. Ha! Glory to God. I will not be sick. The Lord has healed me. I will be strong in the Lord. You know, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 14. Many wonderful promises that we can claim for our healing. The Lord is the fountain of living waters. When the Lord heals us, we are healed. It's not hit and miss. You know, some medical procedures and treatments they give you, they tell you, well, you know, it can go and it can come back. It can be in remission. It can be this and that. You know, but the Lord's healing is done when he does it. Say, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Glory to God. Save me and I shall be saved. It's done deal when he does it. You know, so we can be assured and we can lean upon the Lord, for our healing. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17, the Lord promises to heal us, you know, of our sicknesses, heal our wounds, bring and restore health unto us. He said, I will restore health unto you and I will heal you of your wounds. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, whatever we have that's going on, that's out of kilter in our bodies, the Lord promised healing. And, Jeremiah 33 and verse 6, I will bring health and cure. I will cure them. Ha! Glory to God. And I will reveal unto them my abundance of peace and truth. These are glorious things that are spoken concerning us in the scriptures. So you take these things and you run with them every day when challenges come to your health. Even the Lord can renew our blood. You know, people have blood disease. You know, they have different things and so forth. They can have high blood pressure. The blood is out of order. There's different things, you know, blood diseases and different leukemia and what have you. He says in Joel chapter 3 and verse 21, he said, I, the Lord, will cure thy blood. Even that which was previously unclean, I will cure it. In other words, give even new blood. Did you know that science will tell you, you know, the bones, you know, it's like a blood factory in there, in the marrows and so on. Well, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, we're told that the word of God can go inside those bones and marrows and manufacture new blood and new, new cells for you. The word of God goes in there. Praise the Lord. You know, so those are many promises, you know, that God has given us concerning healing. They are glorious things that He has spoken concerning us. What about deliverance and protection and the different things that God has given us? How He will deliver us from terror and oppression. These are glorious things that are spoken about us in the book. They are written, they are spoken about us. The book of Exodus chapter 3 verses 9 and 10. You know, when the Lord sent Moses to stand before Pharaoh, you know, there were some pronunciations, you know, that, you know, God made, you know, but then the people would later experience it, you know. The Lord said, I have seen the oppression of the Egyptians that are oppressing my people. I'm going now to deliver you. That's a glorious thing. If you remember that Israel is a type, and this whole Exodus thing is a type, that God will deliver us from the bondage of Pharaoh. Abraham's line is groaning under the hard bondage of Pharaoh, and God is sending deliverance again at this time. These are glorious things that God has spoken concerning us. In the book of Psalm 89, verses 22 to 26, the Lord speaks these glorious things about David. He also speaks them about you. You know, that God has poured His oil on your head, has anointed you with oil of gladness, and that He will not allow the enemy to afflict you or the son of our righteousness to terrorize you. See how the Lord said it in Psalm 89 and verse 22. The enemy shall not exact upon you, nor the son of wickedness afflict you. I will beat down your foes before your face, and I will plague them that hate you. I mean, isn't this wonderful? These are glorious things that are written about you. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with you, and in my name shall your horn be exalted. Now, these are glorious things that are spoken about you from His mouth to your ears. The Lord said in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, He said many things, glorious things for us to rejoice in. Hallelujah. He said the mountains shall depart. That's verse 10 of Isaiah 54. And the hills shall be removed. But this is a glorious thing. My kindness shall never depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. What more shall we say? Time will fail me to read of many, many wonderful promises that the Lord has given. Here is a glorious thing that the Lord wrote about us in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. We're talking about deliverance from oppression, God giving us liberty, giving us liberation, you know, rather than the, you know, terror of the enemy. You know, in the book of Zephaniah, even talks about, you know, the Lord rejoicing over us with joy. Say, you know, what will the Lord do, you know, for him, for us that trust in the name of the Lord? Well, there are many things that He promises. Let's read from verse 14 of the book of Zephaniah, you know, chapter 3, says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with your heart. Daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord had taken away, you know, thy judgments, all the punishment and so forth. You cast out thine enemy. That's right. He said, the king of Israel, even the Lord. Remember, the Lord said, I am thy king. You know, Isaiah 43 and 15 is the king. The king of Israel is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Isn't that beautiful? That's a glorious thing that is written concerning you. We need to step into it and believe. Say, in that day shall be said of you, fear thou not. And to Zion, we just proved earlier that you are the people called Zion. Let not your hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. Isn't that beautiful? These are glorious things that the Lord has spoken about us. Glorious things. These things are in the scriptures. You know, believe the Lord all the time as you read the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Read the scriptures, believe the Lord, quote them for yourself. He said, look, everything that afflicts you at that time, it's a glorious thing. Behold, see, all that afflicts you will I undo. Huh, glorious, glorious thing spoken of you. You know, he said, look, I even gather them that are sorrowful. I will bring them. I'm going to take away the reproach that had been a burden unto you. I'm going to bring you. I will gather you. I will make you a name and a praise among the people of all the earth. When I shall turn back your captivity, saith the Lord, before your eyes, the things that have put you back, the gates of brass, those are captivity. Bars of iron, captivity. Put people behind bars and different things, spiritually and physically. God said, I will turn it back. Huh? It's like glorious things that are spoken concerning us, you know. And, well, what about, you know, other things like discouragement, disappointment, and various things? What does God have to say to give us courage about that? Well, he has some glorious things, you know, that he said about us. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, you know, verses 6 and 8, he said, it is the Lord thy God that does go before thee, and he will not fail thee. He will always be there with you. So don't be disappointed. Don't be disappointed. Don't let the devil discourage you. Stay strong in the Lord all the time. Praise the Lord. Know that the Lord is with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. This is what he has promised. Praise the Lord. He's always there for you. You know, there are some things that we are going through that seems as if, you know, they will never end. Well, here's a glorious thing, you know, that the Lord spoke about you concerning that kind of situation. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, you know, and verse 18, the Lord will have us know that, look, he has you in mind. And no matter how dark it looks like now, say there is an end to it. For surely there is an end. Thine expectation also shall not be cut off. What is it that you are expecting? We talked about when you affirm the word of God, you must mean it and you must be expecting it. Well, what are you expecting? What are you affirming? Glorious things are spoken here that say that there will be an end to the trouble that you are in right now, to the difficult times that you are in. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, you may be going through the night hours right now, but it cannot last forever. Joy is coming in the morning. These are glorious things that are spoken concerning us. You can take these things and run with them. Romans chapter 8 verses 35 through 39 talks about glorious things. Paul was so assured, he called it confidence. he said, I'm persuaded. I mean, he was persuaded. Are you persuaded? Praise the Lord. Nothing, he said, can separate me from the love of God as in Christ Jesus. Neither life, nor death, nor height, nor when I'm up or down, when I'm sideways or anyway. He said, none of these things can separate me. Whether things that are present, even things that are yet to come that I don't know about, God's already made provision. Glory to God. He said, look, but after all said and done, we are more than conquerors. That's a glorious thing. Not only, you know, do you come out on top, you vanquish the enemy. Praise God. These are glorious things, you know, that God has set before us. You know, God has given us an understanding today and every day through the reading of the Word of God that we have a lot of things that God has promised us. And if we can just believe, there is something, there's one story in Mark chapter 9. I love this story because this man came to the disciples of Jesus looking for them to do some miracle, which they couldn't do. So he comes, you know, comes to Jesus. And the way he says it to Jesus is like, Lord, if thou canst do anything, your disciples couldn't do it. Well, maybe you can. And if there's anything you can do, please help me. And, you know, I love the way that Jesus said it. He said, look, I know, you know, that you have your son with you. You went to the disciples, they couldn't do it and so forth. And they come in here and they say, it's not about whether I can do it. Jesus put it right back on him. It's about you. Can you believe it? That's it. If you can believe these glorious things that are spoken and written of you in this Word of God, God has also spoken some things to us by voice on this platform. Many things over the last 3 years. Can you believe these things? You know, it's not a matter of, you know, can God do it? You know, I said, Lord, if thou canst, I know you can help me. Just help me. Jesus said, no, it's not about whether I can do it. It is whether you can believe. If you can only believe, Jesus said to him in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, all things are possible to him that believeth. I read this and I see it as a glorious thing. Because all it means is for me to believe the word of God. And he say it is possible. Impossible is nothing. There, I mean, nothing shall be impossible unto God and also to him that believes. I mean, your faith can bring you into a reality where things are occurring at your world just like God. God says, let there be. And there was. You also can, by your faith, cause things to come to pass. Yeah? You know, the Bible used to say, and it shall come to pass. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that God will create it. You know, even if it doesn't look like it, God will make it happen. Many things like that. When God makes things to happen, Lord said, I, the Lord, have created it. Isaiah 45 and verse 8. It's a glorious thing. This scripture promises that heaven and earth will be walking together for your favor to bring forth righteousness, to bring forth salvation in your families, in your life. You say, the Lord said, the Lord say, I, the Lord, have created it. What does that mean? Well, it means I, the Lord, have caused it to come to pass. But that's how God created things. It came to pass. He said, let there be. Cause it to come to pass is what let there be means. You know, cause it to come to pass that the dry land will appear after the waters are gathered in one place. Yeah. Said that. Genesis. Let the waters that be above the firmament be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. God says it. Then what he speaks causes it to come to pass. Things start to happen because God said it in order for it to come to pass like what God said. In fact, there are some scriptures that says that it might be fulfilled. That which the Lord spake by the mouth of such and such a prophet, then the Lord began to do such and such a thing in order that the thing that he spoke might come to pass. Glory to God. You know, and God said that in many places. He said it even concerning Cyrus. Yeah. He said, well, that the word of the Lord might come to pass. The Lord began to move, you know, upon this Cyrus. One day, you know, he just said, well, you know, the Lord God be with anybody who can be strong and do this thing. Listen to this in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. That's it. In order for that to happen, well, God began to cause certain things to come to pass so that he will bring forth that word. You know, then God began to stir up the spirit of this man so that the word of the Lord, which he already spoke by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. And then this king, and he said, well, I'm going to make a proclamation. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven, bless me with all the kingdoms of Israel. This man acknowledged the Lord. Charge me to build him a house at Jerusalem. Well, who there is among you then, of all these people that knows the name of the Lord? Well, let him be strong. Let him go up and let him build. The Lord is God, be with him. Look at this man. Because all... it was in order for some word that God already spoke might come to pass. And so I began to move this king to do this thing. Now, in order for any of these glorious words that are spoken in the word of God concerning you to happen, there are some things that you must do. You must speak it. Look like Jeremiah spoke it. See, now, there are some things that, you know, God will not do unless people do something. It's not that he can't do it, but he just won't do it. That's his principle. You know, so, I mean, you know, we cannot do many things on our own except God first said it. We know that. But God himself will not do anything, you know, unless the people speak his word. And God already spoken, is waiting. Many promises are in the Bible. They're kind of like, you might call it, they're just latent. They're just like that. They're there. Somebody has to activate this word, you know, by believing it and speaking it forth. Not just believe it in your heart. That's wonderful. But you have to speak it with your mouth. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tell us that. There's a secret. You believe it in your heart, but you declare it with your mouth. That's how you get it. Say, for with the heart, you know, man believes unto righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I mean, so you believe it because you've seen it in the word. Well, then you speak it. You know, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. And you believe the word of God, and you must speak it. When you find these glorious things that God has spoken, you know, Romans 10:10, the heart, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's how you do it. So when you see these glorious things in the scriptures, and look, I can leave you an exercise for you to do this on your own. You can search the scriptures on your own. Find all the glorious things that the Lord has spoken concerning you. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Remember, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, that when the Holy Spirit comes, John chapter 14, verse 26, he will teach you all things, right? But he will also bring to your remembrance those things I already said to you. So the Holy Spirit would remind you something. You may not know where it is in the scripture, but he will just remind you. Then you have to go do your digging. You have to go search the scriptures I mean, Obi might actually tell you point blank where it is in the scriptures, and he might not tell you, you know, but either way, he will drop that word in your heart, and you got to go search it out, you know. Hallelujah. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 25 and verse 2, we read of this secret, you know, that is in the scriptures, that we who are called kings, remember Revelation chapter 1 tells us that, you know, 1:6 and Revelation 5:9 says he has made us kings and priests. You know, those of us who are kings, we've got to search out the gems that God has hidden in his word. So it is the glory of God, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. He wants to do it that way. That's his choice. You cannot question him. But it is the honor and responsibility and privilege of kings to search it out. So we must search out these glorious things that are written in the scriptures concerning you. Some of us, some of the things have been hid, you know, since the world began. But it's now being revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. As it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, you know, what, you know, God has prepared, you know, for those that believe him. But, you know, how do we get them there? Well, God has revealed them to us by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would tell us these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, well, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, you know, what the Lord has prepared. But, you know, if you can believe it, he can reveal them to you through the Spirit of God. Now, this scripture is quoting Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. In Isaiah chapter 64, there are some wonderful things that the Lord put there. There are also glorious things that have been spoken concerning us. And you got to search the scriptures and find out these things. Glory to God. You know, what does he say in Isaiah 64? You know, and verse 4, it says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have they seen by the eye, you know, what God has prepared for him, that waiting for him. This is the scripture that Paul is quoting when he says, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. You know, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, but glorious things. God will reveal them to you through the scriptures. Praise God. The Lord, you know, will do nothing that he has not spoken about somewhere in the scriptures. He has revealed it somewhere, and we've got to go find it out. You know, according to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. But first, he revealed it to his servants. So he somehow, somewhere in the scriptures, he has already revealed it. Maybe couched in a mystery, but we got to go look for it. You know? So when you look for it, it's like glorious things that he has spoken. The Lord has delivered us from many things. There's a powerful one in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13. I am the Lord your God, he said, which I brought you forth out of the land of bondage, that you should no more be their bondsmen. That's right. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. Those yokes made the people were bent over. They couldn't even stand up straight. The yokes were on their backs for many years. And they were bent over. They could not even stand up straight. The Lord said, now, broken those things. Glory to God. Cause you to stand up straight. These are glorious things. Jesus referred to the same thing. Come unto me, Matthew 11 and 28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you are bent over by the burdens and the jokes that the devil put upon you. You know, he said, look, I will ease the yoke. I will lighten the burden. Glory to God. You know, and I will make you to go upright. These are glorious things that God has spoken about us. And how is he going to do it? Well, you know, let's read in the book of Isaiah, you know, how he's going to do it. This anointing that the Lord spoke about is actually present even as it is today. You know, he said, in that day, Isaiah 10 and 27, you know, the Lord is going to break something. And how is he going to break it? Well, shall come to pass in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall be broken, taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And how is he going to do it? By the anointing, saith the Lord. And the anointing of the Lord is present here today to break some yokes. Hallelujah. Take the burdens off your neck. Now, if you are sick in this room today, sick of anything, well, I've read to you many glorious promises. Let's believe the Lord. In a few minutes, you know, I'm going to cast out a few sicknesses from this room. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus said, cast out these devils. Don't mess around with him. Just cast him out. It doesn't belong. You know, don't even entertain him. When you see the devils, you know, what does the Bible say in Psalm 24? He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and they that dwell therein. So anywhere you go and you see the devil perching in there or, you know, lodging there, is an illegal occupant because the earth belongs to the Lord. And so you cast him out of there. Get him out of there. Praise God. You know, so let's get out some of these oppressing spirits, sicknesses, and so forth. You know, these things can happen so suddenly. Well, minding your business, you're doing something, and all of a sudden, boom, something happens. Some illness, some sickness, some diagnosis, some this and that, you know, and these are spiritual wickednesses in high places, you know. Wickedness, you know, powers of darkness that try to afflict the people. Well, the enemy shall not afflict you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So the anointing of the Lord that is with us is going to break every yoke. Thank you, Jesus. Can the Lord do it? Well, absolutely. Praise God. Listen to this in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Hallelujah. And verse 3. And it shall come to pass. You remember, it shall come to pass. That means the Lord will make it happen. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, healing from thy sickness, rest from the terror and the fear, rest from the hard bondage wherein thou was caused to serve. The Lord said, he will bring you peace and rest. Now, these are glorious things that are spoken about you. Glory to God. So when you read these things in the Bible, then you stand and believe, you stand on the word of God. That's right. And you believe it and affirm it for yourself. You know, here's another glorious thing that the Lord has spoken concerning you. You know, he said, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Why? Let's read it. Isaiah 32 and verse 17. The walk of righteousness in your life shall be peace. The effect of righteousness in your life shall be quietness and assurance, not just for a moment, but forever. These are glorious things that are spoken concerning you. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Even when hail and storm and all these things comes, the Lord will protect you. And furthermore, What is a glorious thing that is spoken of you? They that are waiting for him shall see his appearing. Glorious, glorious, glorious thing. We are looking for that blessed hope, the great appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus. It's a glorious thing. He said, look, ye men of Israel and so forth like that, why stand ye here and gazing, you know, to heaven as if something, you know, is happening that you've never seen before? He said, well, he said, trust me, let me tell you this. As you have seen him go, Acts chapter 1, verse 11, this same Jesus, glory to God, that you see go up to heaven, taken from you in this manner, even in the same manner, he shall come again. And to them that look for him, it's a glorious thing, he shall appear this time around. Nobody is going to put any nails in his hands and crown of this thing upon his head and all that nonsense. He's coming, glorious power, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's going to elevate his people. He said, you know, this is a promise that he gave you. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21 and verse 7. And furthermore, in Revelation 3 and 21, he also gives a powerful, glorious promise. That are written of thee, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. What else you want? This is the height of everything. I mean, you're going to be like Jesus, sit in his throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. You know, hallelujah. But you must overcome. How do you overcome? By the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of your testimony out of your mouth. Revelation 12 and 11. You overcame that devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of God in their mouth. The word of your testimony. You testify to these glorious things that are written of you. Now I'm going to pray and let's believe the Lord together. You know, I've given you enough food for thought. You know, just a fuel for you to go do some research and find some glorious things that are written about you. I mean, I've got a lot of things, you know, that I can talk about, you know, glorious things and so forth. But, you know, for the sake of time, I'm going to leave it there. But I said enough for you to know that there are many glorious things spoken and written of you in this book called the Bible. And some other glorious and wonderful things that the Holy Spirit himself has spoken to you, point blankly to you in your lives, in your time of prayer with him, and even on this platform, some glorious things that he has spoken. Now, let's believe the Lord together. First, I want to deal with some sicknesses and diseases. Well, because, you know, when we are, the devil afflicts us, our body like that, we really can't function fully for the Lord. If the devil puts you out for a few days or a few weeks, well, you can't be doing anything for the Lord at that time. You know, so the devil knows, you know, and he's a, you know, a trick master, trickster like that. You know, come against our body and so forth, you know, put us down and so forth. Or, you know, you attack somebody in your family and then you're running all the time up and down to hospital and so on. Or even you yourself, or your children, or this and that. Well, these are afflictions of the devil. And God's glorious thing that he spoke is that I have delivered you from those afflictions and caused you to go upright from those burdens. So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you said in your word, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I come against high blood pressure. In the name of Jesus, in this place, diabetes, leukemia, you know, lymphoma, all kinds of blood diseases. I come against sickle cell. I come against anything, you know, and stroke and so forth. The devil will try to put upon the people suddenly at times. I rebuke those things in Jesus' name. Now, let it come to pass. Even as it is written, say, I, the Lord, have created it. Cause it, Lord, to come to pass that health will spring forth for your people. Say, your health will spring forth speedily. That's another glorious thing that the Lord has spoken. Now, let your health spring forth speedily, and let the people receive wisdom from the Lord and instruction on what to do, how to eat, what to eat, what to cut off, what excesses, what things are bringing unnecessary stress in our lives that we should cut off. According to Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Glorious things. Thank you, Father. Now, let roll back, Lord, the effects of high blood pressure. Roll back the effects of diabetes, leukemia, lymphoma, any kind of carcinomas and so forth that people are dealing with. Even eye disease and things like that, you know, bleeding from the brain and what have you that have come against some of our people that we have heard here in this room. And I lift up the word of God as a standard today. The glorious things that God has spoken concerning us and written of us in the book, in the volume of the book, it is written that the people of the inhabitants of that place shall not say, I'm sick. Now, I declare and maintain that word today on behalf of myself and everybody that's in this room today, that we will arise. Glory to God. Say the Lord will arise and favor Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. And this glorious thing the Lord spoke concerning us this year, he said, the year of my redeemed has come. Glorious things. That's a glorious thing. And let us believe the Lord, because the Lord said so. Thank you, Jesus. For the day of vengeance, he said, Isaiah 63 and verse 4 is in my heart. That's still for a time in the future. But the year of my redeemed is here, saith the Lord. That's a glorious thing. And that redemption is going to be full and free unto every one of us. Redemption from sickness, redemption from disease, stress, and overburdened from the failures of this world. That said, they are idle. They are idle. But there will be more burdens laying upon them. God will bring you deliverance and liberation. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I declare liberty for the sons of God in the name of Jesus. Everyone, I hear at my voice today, be free of all the affliction of the devil. You have to stand in it and claim it and declare it. And wrestle for it, contend for it, in the name of Jesus. I give you, Lord, the praise. I give you, Lord, the glory for all the glorious things that are written, spoken and written of us. We enter into them, we claim them, we affirm them, we mean it, we expect it, we doubt nothing. And so it shall be for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.